Warhammer podcast. This is episode 5, and today we'll be talking about Paul's Bunker Warmaster tournament on Saturday.
Yes, indeed. I ran my first event in this scene that we are growing here, and we're going to chat about it. Like what was good, what was bad, what we thought. It was mostly positive, and to obviously go over the results and give a lead up into the next episode, which will be back to our normal type of episode.
It will. So, do we want to talk about the game we played today first while it's still fresh, or do you want to leave that to later? I think we should talk about it now.
Okay, that's cool.
It was good. It didn't last very long. I mean, we used the death clock. It was done in 98 minutes. That's between us.
That's between us. And when we were doing it as a tournament thing, we were doing it as 2.5 hours. So, we played. And I have to say that I did stop to consider it a few times. It wasn't like that was speed play. So, yeah.
No, on the flip side, it was only 4 turns, I believe. I think so. It finished in my turn 4. I went second.
Basically, our next episode's going to be about high elves, and Barry's playing high elves. So this time I took dark elves, and the game, and Barry won 10-9. So we had a nail bot, like a really good game of Warmaster because it was that close, and I'd pushed up to 9. Before I lost
in turn 4
and was trying for but couldn't get that final unit, and then Barry countered with his cavalry, who had been holding back his silver helms, who did a 4-way charge.
Three way charge.
No, he did. He did push it for 4.
No, it's 4-way. Took out 7 units.
7 units
and in one turn.
Ow!
He took his break from 2 to 7 in one turn. The turn before, he'd taken my break from 2 to 9, so he destroyed 7 in that turn.
Yeah. I suppose I'd had a very good attack. But that's it would have been a perfect game to have a video podcast on, because if say all the models were finished and the table looked good, it was High Elves, Dark Elves, War of the Sundering, and the game couldn't have gone any better. And the Dark Elves push ahead, look like they're going to win, and the High Elves valiantly counter and win.
So I used, I'll just talk about my list, because this is the same list I used at the tournament, so I guess it's worth talking through properly. Mm-hmm. So I have spearmen, I have 6 units of those. The minimum's 4, but I find 2 brigades of spearmen with archers on the front is how they're my combat brigades. They tend to find defensive positions and sit still. So 6 spearmen, 2 archers, which go on the front of the spearmen. So the spearmen go in column and the archers go in line on the front. 4 units of silver helms, which I use to kind of win the game generally, along with my reavers. So how I will do those, I'll hold them back, but they're only to go after big targets. I don't just chuck them in against chaff. So I kept them, I didn't even use them till turn 4 in this game. I hid them behind a wood. 3 units of reavers, which are there to just assassinate stuff. They're incredibly good at doing that. And then we have 2 units of eagles, which generally are there to pick off war machines and light stuff, but some games they don't have a use at all, and you just have to hide them at the back until... I'll talk about a manoeuvre I used in a game, but they're also useful for destroying units by positioning rather than combat. We have 2 bolt throwers, which are just awesome. And then we have a general, just a straight general, a hero on a dragon with a sword of might, and a wizard with a dispel scroll. So only 3 characters, which is, it can make games tight on leadership, but we have 19 units and a breakpoint of 10.
I think it's a very good list, and the Barry's heavy. We won't obviously go into the generic strengths and weaknesses of a high elf faction, because that's going to be our next episode. I think what Barry's got here, to get a breakpoint 10 out of high elves and... take what he's got. I mean, interestingly, he's got no chariots, for example.
Oh, yeah, that was conscious. Yeah. I wanted something with armour to be more heavy.
And so it's a very interesting list, and he's done very well with it so far. I mean, you've won more than you've lost recently.
I think I've only lost one with it. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The game we just played, it came down to me rolling a 6 in turn 4, because it's like a third order, an enemy near... I needed a 6 to get in, and that's something I would have been hesitant to do earlier in my days in Warmaster. I'd been more cautious, but over the weekend I've been taught that really you've got to play quite aggressively. There's no point sitting back in this game. And that's why the game's finished relatively quickly, because we both played aggressively.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fits into the fluff kind of each army as well. And it's, yeah, and it's the game should be about attack. It's not about defend. It's not about playing for defense, or as in, I think, or playing for a draw, which can't happen because we're playing these games now to our tournament setting, you know, like style. Yeah, which we'll go on about the event.
Yeah. So like just the final point. So in that game again. This was basically do or die. Paul had put seven wounds on me. He'd taken seven of my breakpoint in one turn. So I went from 2 to 9, which historically would have broken my high elves at 9, because I don't normally... 10's quite a high number. Okay, so Paul, what happened in the event?
Okay, so the event was on Saturday, July the... No, sorry, that's the next one. Saturday, January the 9th. And it was a 14-man event. We had a couple of no-shows, but also one guy, a friend of a guy, who turned up to pay on the day, which was obviously fine, and another one who just came to watch, and I couldn't talk him into playing. Either.
He just wanted to watch.
Just wanted to watch. So, but that's,
it's a nice spectator sport. Yeah,
why not? Why
it's
not?
It's very cinematic.
Yeah, and that was at 40K in Colchester. We charged £10 for included lunch, and that gave me enough of a prize support money to buy the trophy shield, which obviously you won't need to buy again. So we got it, a 14-round event, it was a Swiss tournament, so should be 4 rounds, or can be 4 rounds. 16 is definitely 4 rounds. Luckily, this fell just right, and the results meant that it didn't need to have a fourth round. But if it had, but there is no time to play 4 games of Warhammer.
A lot of people said that they didn't have the stamina for 4 games. Which
yeah,
is
and
enough.
I think that's totally fair as well, because Warmaster is an engaging game. So if it had finished where there was 2 people on level pegging, I'd have used Strength for Schedule, which is a very how War Machine events are done, to sort out the first, second, third, and everybody else. And in fact, I needed to use Strength for Schedule for the person who was in third. But what it is.
So for people that don't know what Strength of Schedule means, it's basically you add up how many points your opponent scored. So say I won 3 games, then my Strength of Schedule would be worth 12 to all my opponents. So the person who plays the hardest games generally wins.
So you can say that's kind of luck of the draw, but
certainly first round,
but you can't control who you play. But ultimately it's the only truly fair way, I think, of sorting out when you have, when in this case 5 people have the same points for third, which one of them gets the prize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, but the Strength of Schedule only really matters for minor placings if you play the 4 rounds, which we should have done for 16 players, but couldn't.
So we got a result, and we gave out prizes for first, second, third. We gave out a prize for the best table that was used, like somebody brought along, and we gave out a prize for painting as well. And I liked all of those, as obviously first, second, third, you have to, but I liked the other one, the table one, and the painting was like, yeah, I want to go forward. So I didn't enforce painting stipulations for this one, because obviously it's creating a scene, you've got to be inclusive, not exclusive. And the big thing of this event was that us as War Machine players was using chess clocks, or death clock to use a term, on War Master players. Basically, so we give each other a chess clock, which we provided. They have 75 minutes each, which includes their deployment time, to set up, play the game. You can lose the game by either half units breaking as normal, general dying normal, or by your opponent timing out if you not run out of time. If that happens, you've lost the game, you stop the game there, and you add up the points, you know, to give for what the other person scored. We did a sliding scale, basically done on VPs. So the winner would get 4 points, the loser would get either nothing or 1 point if they'd done 150 points worth, 2 points if they'd done 150 to 300. No.
Between 3 and 6.
3 and 6. And 3 points if it's gone over 600. Sorry, I got the first one a little wrong there. Basically, a sliding scale, which 600 points in a 2,000 point game doesn't sound that much, but actually, when you take away the points of the characters, because you break the army by breaking half the units, actually, it's right. And there wasn't, tracking the results, there wasn't too many 3 point results, in a sense that, as in, so it wasn't like the scoring was dominated completely by one category brand that everybody was getting.
Yeah, certainly wasn't everybody getting three.
I can see we got the result, the
majority were two.
We got all 21 results here in front of us, and yeah, that sliding scale worked for points. That's staying, that's going forward.
Okay. No, it was good. I think there could be some tinkering around the boundaries of where the numbers actually fit, but yeah, it worked well. I think it did encourage aggressive play again, because if you're going to lose, you might as well lose destroying a lot of their stuff rather than destroying none of their stuff.
If you lose small, you get the least.
You could get 0 points, and if you lose big,
basically,
you get 3.
Basically, this runs along the same lines of those who played Oldhammer. If you have Oldhammer used to have like a 20-0 system. Basically, you could score up to 20 points, depending on how much damage you've done to the enemy, while your opponent gets the remainder of the points. So it means there's always something to play for.
So and the win would have been 11-9, I think.
Yeah,
that's the kind of first win.
Yeah, your first win. And that system is much better than a hard, just win-loss-draw, and that's it. Because that encourages negative play. Basically, if you have a system where you score just as many points by winning small as winning big, then that encourages negative play.
Oh no, we do have a system. You always score 4 points for winning.
Yeah, but
for losing.
But as in, you don't
want to lose small.
You don't want to lose small. Yeah, exactly.
You want to lose
so big. You want to do something to the opponent. If you have a system that doesn't need to be that way, so say you had a War Master tournament where, okay, after a set amount of time, those who've done the most damage to the opponent gets 4 points or something like that, then that's
Then you just end up with people sitting up with gun lines and just picking stuff up.
Yeah, and who enjoys those games? You know, like
the people with the gun lines.
strangely, that does appeal to some. But as I say, basically, overall in this event, and this is like, okay, so we are scene building, meta creating, whatever. And like, basically, we're putting ourselves out there. This is how we want these things to go. And does it please? And I was like conscious of this. It's like, because this is the first time that I've run an event completely by myself. And like, certainly the first War Master event. And it's like, I know I can come across as a bit intense at times, I'm told.
Brash.
A bit brash, but that is my background. I'm an army officer, A&E nurse. I just don't have time for people, basically. Yeah, like, anyway. So what I'm saying is, okay, so is this going to appeal to the majority? If it does, then it worked. If the majority didn't enjoy it, it didn't work and it needs changing. You will not create something in life that will please everybody.
No, you shouldn't even try.
You just won't. Now, what I got at the event was, I had 14 people playing. This is not counting me. I was outside it. One was not happy. The rest either were happy or content enough not to complain at me.
And you did encourage.
And I invited them to like have at me. You know, like, and I say, so 1 out of 14, so that's less than 10%, that's perfectly acceptable casualties. There will always be casualties.
And I think, to be fair, I mean, it will probably come up later in the podcast, but the reason that the person in question didn't like the system was because he came a cropper with the death clock, which only happens the first time it happens to you. I remember the first time it happened to me, I felt a bit cheated.
This was in a different system.
Yeah. But I felt cheated. I felt like the game had been stolen from me because I was winning the game and yet I lost. And you go, well, that can't be right. I'm winning and yet I've lost. But the reason I was winning is because I've taken 3 times as long as the other person. He's on like, he's used 10 minutes of his hour and I've used an hour.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm winning.
Because the thing is, and it's also like with chess clocks, is you have, it has a way, you have to organise an event. And you can only really take true feedback from people who run events, like in a way. Because it's like, so well, if you don't like it, run your own event. But like, ultimately, you have to know when an event's going to stop. You have to know when
you have to be able to schedule.
We're providing lunch. We have to know when to have that lunch ready. You know, like there's rules for like having, not giving people food poisoning.
Oh,
that kind of thing.
The things like, so when, if you say an event's going to finish at 6 and you've got family commitments and the event finishes at 8, that's a big problem.
Yeah, it has to finish at 6.
Yeah, that would mean I potentially couldn't go.
Yeah, exactly. You need these hard timings. Now, another way you can do an event is you just say the round will finish, I don't know, let's say at 3 o'clock. So when that 3 o'clock comes around, what really happens is that people don't want to finish because they're still playing their game, and it never, rarely ends that both players have played the same amount of turns.
No.
And normally, the person who's ahead on time, you know, has like started slowing down because
I'm ahead on points, and it's coming to 3 o'clock, I suddenly start moving back towards the back.
Exactly, and that system, they will get your hard timings, but that system disadvantages both people in a way, and it can encourage someone to take abuse of it.
It encourages negative play.
The death clock system, where you either if you run out of time, you've lost.
Doesn't matter if you've got like the person on, you've lost nothing, and Paul's army's got lost 8 of his 9 break points.
Yep, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. If you run out of clock, you've lost.
And that's the thing, and I had to be, and when it happened in this event, and that's the way the game is, I'm afraid that's the results. Like, I'm not debating this. This is what's happened.
Yeah, it has to happen. You know, otherwise, how do you win the game?
It's like giving bad news in my A&E. It's like I'm afraid this has happened.
Well, you didn't take him into another room. You could have done that. Put your arm around them.
I suppose, but I don't really do that either. But like, but I'm saying it's like there's it's clarity to me. These are the facts. So anyway, this is the situation. Now I think that alone warrants having chess clocks. It won't suit everyone's cup of tea, as I said before, and like say the next event, the Triwizard event, is a doubles event, it won't suit that.
It may suit that,
but that's not for me to decide, because I'm not running that event. But like in the events that I am running, like this one, they are going to stay. And if you just simply, if you don't like that, don't turn up.
I think if you don't like it, I'd suggest try it.
Yeah.
Play a few games with it, and you may actually find you do like it. Yeah. You do like the ability to play a game in 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, it's now, like, from our War Machine background, like, I won't play a game that isn't on the clock. Like, if it's a casual one, that's off the
clock. And you've got a lot of time to play it.
It seems a bit weird to not have a clock system now. I just like that outside mechanic, which means this game will finish at some time. I've got to, like, in sport, like, at tennis players have to serve within a certain amount of time. They can't just have a cup of tea, take forever they want to do. Like, they have to, if they don't, they've lost the point. Like, there's like, it's not like we're inventing something that's never been done before. It's in sport. It's in, in football, you have whatever many time to make a throw in. You can't just, or a free kick. You can't just stand there forever waiting to kick the ball or throw the ball. You have to, you're out of time now. And we're not giving people an unreasonable amount. I think 2.5 hours, when we've just played a game in 98 and an hour and a half, 2.5 hours is fine. Yeah. I mean, if you tell me that isn't enough time, I'm sorry, but it is.
Yeah, just play faster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where you can help yourself by being organised, and you can help yourself in those early turns when there isn't a lot of hard decisions to make.
Get on with it then.
And if you are pushed for time, don't make moves that aren't going to result in a win of the game. Why would you bother throwing these random little goblin attacks here when they can't achieve anything, like shooting attacks
just
or something?
Just eat up your clock.
Just eat up your time. Don't do it. Yeah. You don't have to roll the dice. Because so you can just go, okay, I'm not going to bother attacking there. It's not going to do it. It happens in War Machine. When you're really pushed for time, you start cutting back on your unit activations. Yeah. You just go, right, they're doing nothing. This could win me game. I'm concentrating on that.
Let's do that.
So anyway, out of 14 players, only one complained. I consider that a win. And that's what's happening. So I gave, basically, at the start of the tournament, I gave a brief to everybody, talk them through how to use a chess clock, because it obviously is a new thing to some of these players. And I also then explained about outside game etiquette, which I didn't see, which I was really glad, and that didn't happen. Basically, I've attended enough events over the time that I know the kind of event I want to be at, and I want it to be a thing. Basically, if it's not your game, don't interfere. Watch silently. And when I was I'm the judge, being asked for judge questions, I would not butt in and give tactical advice. I said, I'm not here, I can't give you tactical advice. I can just tell you what the rules are.
Yeah.
Rule books and army books, this is a good thing for us. We've produced now a definitive War Master rule book, which takes all the erratas that came in the War Master magazine afterwards, and we put it into one document, which we basically, these are events.
I think Jim did, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, okay, so Jim did. But like, but anyway, we promoted it. Yeah, like, I did the army list book. Right, that is the rule book we are using. And it's not, if you have the original copy of War Master, you're not wrong. It's just,
this is certainly not right anymore. That's a nightmare.
But you can learn to play the game off that book, but rules decisions will come from this.
So, just funny story. I've got two copies of the rule book. So I get a copy of the rule book, I get a copy of the errata, and I think, right, because the GW used to cut them out, and they had a little, you know, cut round this, so you cut them out with a pair of scissors, and they got replace this paragraph on this page, so then you get out the rule book and they don't even match. The page references don't match. It refers to a completely different rule book, which must be the PDF rule book.
Yeah.
So when I was learning this game, until Jim came up with this rule book, it was so frustrating. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a definite barrier to people playing the game.
Exactly. And this is about, scene building is about removing barriers. Like, so by creating this definitive rule book and this definitive army list book, we are going to get new players. In fact, we're going to talk about one of them later.
But On the subject of army lists, I had a little bit of a rant about army lists because the proposal from the kind of East of England War Master scene, if we can be so grand as to say, was that all the army lists, all of them, fan armies, experimental armies, trial armies, all of them were going to be legal for this year. And I had some qualms about some of the lists because they're not all created equal.
No.
But that battle was lost, and now they're all legal.
Yeah, so, basically the decision was to be, because I'm in part of the tri... Well, Tri-Wizard Pact? I'm trying to remember history here. Like, the Axis had a pact at the start of World War II to, like,
okay,
be ultra evil. Anyway, the can't remember. Evil, anyway,
Hydra or something.
That's, yeah, Hydra. Right, anyway, the three members of Hydra, you know, like, our decision was we wanted all army lists to be in there because they are 6 years old. You know, like these army lists.
They should have been tested by now, but I'm not sure they have.
But anyway, we figured that if they're there, we can take them away.
But my argument is, if I come into a system and buy a list, like I go out and purchase the models to play a list, and then that list gets withdrawn, that leaves with a bad taste. I'd rather it wasn't
true.
There and
well,
then test
I, that
it.
Is, but
that was the argument.
That's a different
that I
way to. That's a different way to go about it. But ultimately, if you did that, I don't think there's many lists in there that would invalidate your models then, because
no, you just have excess models,
yes,
I guess.
Probably
in the worst
excess
case.
So anyway,
other thing we talked about was that I didn't really see the reason for Bretonnian, not Bretonnian, sorry, for High Elves, why there were two lists.
Yeah.
If the High Elves are really so bent, you need a tournament list, then remove the main list.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, these are all things to be considered in the future, because right now anything goes.
All 31 go?
There's more than 31. There's like 33, 35.
Oh,
yeah, like anyway, we produce these things. Now, if you wanted to play in one of our events, or like, you know, I can do you copies of these, no problems.
You
know, like, and
you can't get the rule book on that, but the army lists are freely available.
The army lists are freely available.
Just the two books, Warhammer Armies.
2009 Compendium and Warhammer Armies, smashed together, taken all the fluff away. And it's just army lists. That's what it is.
So it's Warhammer Armies, and I think the other one's called Warmaster Trial Armies.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So just those two.
So, anyway, these things will create more players. I got great, as I say, we had great prize support for the event.
Prize support was insane.
Yeah, I think it was really
good. I reckon you probably had about 50 quid's worth of prize support. Maybe even more.
More. I emailed the four... In fact, the
we
only
should,
one
we should shout them out, really.
We should shout them out. Okay, so, yeah, because that's the whole point of this. Pendraken, Polar Fox, Eureka, and Madestrum Millestrum. I didn't go after Callistra. I should have done, really.
But they're 12 mil. But they're fucking models.
Anyway, all four of those companies replied back and sent us models. Some were really generous. When all I wanted was an example of their work, you know, for us to give away as like.
I mean, Polar Fox sent something that's not even on their books.
Yeah, Polar Fox
sent us
three blister packs. They sent seven blister packs. Three of them aren't on their website, but it's their stuff. So maybe it's the guy's what he's doing in the future. And I don't want to spoil his IP.
No, but he sent them to us, so we also want to talk about it.
I suppose. Okay. So he sent. A Tomb King pack, which was all the characters from Old Hammer in Warmaster form, and he spent a really nice Sphinx.
So much better than the GW one.
So that was quite conveniently became the prize for the best table, which was an undead table.
You spoiled the best.
Oh, wait a minute. And he also sent a pack which was Bretonnian characters. So it was a Bretonnian knight on a hippogriffin and two damsels, modelled exactly after the Old Hammer style.
Which is what people like.
Which people want, isn't it? They want miniature versions of their Warhammer-looking stuff.
Yeah, and Eureka sent some... I definitely saw some lizardmen, some saurus.
Yes, there were saurus. There were two packs of saurus, a pack of, like, looked like... bow-armed, like, biped, you know, snakes, like centaur snakes, and I can't remember. Dwarves, pack of dwarves.
Was he the dwarf goat cavalry?
Dwarf goat cavalry,
or
straight out,
ram cavalry,
straight out of Hobbits,
they were
Battle
brilliant.
Of the Five Armies.
Fantastic. I don't know if you'd use them as rangers, mate.
Rangers, yeah, but Pendragon do dwarves on goat cav.
Was that Pendragon?
No, sorry, that was
Eureka.
Yeah, it was Eureka. And they were lovely as well. I mean, anyway, so wait, I did the prizes, was that the winner got the first choice, then the best painter got...
Choose? Let's name it, man.
Okay, well, so... The results.
No. You were talking about the prize for. What did they pick first? What did the winner pick?
Picked.
It was Jim. It was. Oh, sorry, no, it didn't. It wasn't Jim. I didn't give it away.
Yeah. It was. He picked Eureka.
Yeah, there was some good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, but personally, if Polar Fox are making more stuff, fantastic, because their quality is just as good. But I think Eureka do the best stuff, personally.
So,
but that's my opinion. But
I'm still new to this game.
But ultimately, as I say, like if you're gonna get alternative models, you're better off going from one company, because then any scaling issues won't be a problem, and the look will be the same.
I will tell you from a personal perspective. Not that I'm cheap, but if it was a choice between going to somebody like one of the four we've mentioned, or trying to find GW stuff on eBay, there is no contest. You could get an army for the price of two units on eBay for
exactly.
some of these races. It's
exactly.
There's no contest. No
yeah,
contest.
Exactly. So tables were all done from scenery that players brought in fantastically.
That was superb. That's
that
why
was
we
really
did
good.
Best
yeah,
table.
That's why we did a best table prize, which we just created on the day. And the trophy was a really nice like shield, which has enough space for 9 events. So that's 3.5 years worth of tournaments coming up. And it will go around.
And the guy Andy at 40K,
yes.
looked after us all day.
Fantastic job, A star job. I mean, he did so good that he clearly deserves more business from us.
Yeah.
And that £10 was to have a bit of prize support money as well. But, I mean, basically, we were charging £10 for something that gave you 9 hours of entertainment and lunch.
And free drinks all day.
And free tea and coffee. I mean, what costs £10 nowadays? You're not going to... What's going to give you 9 hours of entertainment for £10?
I don't know. Not even Star Wars.
£12,
isn't it? £12.
Yeah.
But, if you need to run an event and you're in the East of England, then please do look up 40K, because it was exceptional value.
They can do... even tiny events, like say they have a sliding scale of cost, and if you want to run an 8-man event, it will cost you £2.50 each to
without
play.
Food obviously.
Without food, and I mean that's nothing, no. isn't it? I mean,
so just do it.
Like it's not. I mean, the events calendar is there. It's easy enough to book. I mean, I can't.
It takes care of ticketing for you.
Yep. Yeah. Because I didn't want money to come into my account for this. Yeah, I wanted it all go to 40K, and then I claimed the prize support money back, which is what I did.
So, I couldn't recommend them enough. It was absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure if you speak to anybody that went to the event, they'd say the same.
Yeah, it was quite, because obviously, like anything, like we've been using 40K for a while, but we're getting a bit blasé about it, I suppose. But like some of the people that had never been there before thought it was a fantastic venue. So,
when Paul did ask if people wanted it back at 40K or somewhere else, they were definitely adamant that 40K.
Yeah,
even though they had to travel from Milton Keynes to Colchester.
Yeah, I think with War Master players is they're willing to travel.
Yeah.
You know, I did have some interest from Sweden for this event. Yeah, you know, and so maybe we'll get some internationals
maybe
in the future.
We'll have to put them up. Or
yeah, well, I say like we'll give them free accommodation in our houses, I suppose.
Yeah,
which would be quite funny. Yeah,
you just bring the meatballs.
Yeah. Okay, so I can talk about. So Barry's going to talk about his game results, and then I'll talk about my TO experience.
Okay, so we obviously played 3 games. My first game was against a gentleman called Alex
Janaway.
Alex Janaway, who's playing Nippon. And prior to the event, when Paul actually talked about the fact that these 33 lists were going to be legal, I went through all the lists that I thought, you know, these look good. I'll be honest, I didn't go through and say, oh, I'm going to play Savage or...
Nomadic Orc Arby.
Oh, let's play a really crappy Bretonian. With none of the benefits of Bretonian and all
yeah,
of the crap.
You really wouldn't play generic Bretonians over the tournament list now.
No. I went through the list, I thought, oh, you know... what? And then the Nippon list jumped out at me. It's got so much character, and it's got some really kind of bent-looking rules.
Just to say, Nippon is a fan-made list that was... It's from a country that is in the old Hammer world. Just DW never did anything with it. It was like one of these faraway little countries that died in the end.
They couldn't protect this IP. There's no chance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like based on historical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so they hate that. Nippon read Japanese. Yeah. Yeah, like, that's what they are.
Mm-hmm. So, basically, similar to Bretonnian, the main way you'll play the army is you have a certain amount of samurai that have samurai on horse or samurai on foot. They've all got bows, five up armour, and they hit with an extra dice on combat, whether they're charged or attacked.
Same rules for Cold One Knights.
Yeah, but for Dark Elf.
Dark Elf Cold One Knights.
Not the lizards. So... and like Bretonnian, they only care about the samurai.
So there's only two armies that mess with a break value, and Nippon are one of them.
So you could have an army, easily, of seven units of samurai, maybe three on horse and four on foot, and your break is four, but it's only those seven that matter. So you can hide some, you can be really defensive with them, and then the rest of the army you can go bonkers with.
Yeah. It's not... I mean, this isn't an episode about how good Nippon are. We'll come on to that.
But they are
with their weaknesses. They are not... I was talking to Alex at Janaway about this, and like they definitely have weaknesses.
They of course have weaknesses. They have no access...
But you've got to exploit them.
They have no flyers. No access to artillery.
No good magic.
No, the magic's really weird. Yeah. We'll talk about that. They have good magic, but no access to it, really. Mm-hmm. So it was just funny that I talked about with Paul all the way on the way there. I was saying, my next army's Nippon. I'm 100%. Now all the lists are free. Nippon, Nippon, Nippon. And then you turn up, first game, I get drawn against Alex, who's playing Nippon. And he's built the list that I would have built. But the actual list is so complicated... I needed to play against him to actually see how it worked together.
Yeah, and that is a thing about playing in tournaments, isn't it? Yeah. Is you want to play against three people you've never played before, and hopefully three armies you've never played before.
So he puts his list down. He has eight units of Ronin, eight, and these things are like samurai.
They don't count.
They're like samurai, so they're like 3-3-5 up, and they hit extra hard on the charge. But they count for nothing. And he's got eight of them. And then he's got four units of spearmen. And he's got this shrine, which is like, if you can imagine an anvil, but an anvil on steroids. So not only does it affect 50 centimetres of the runesmith for the wizard. So if the wizard's within 50 centimetres of the runesmith, you get a dispel roll. Yep. No. 60 centimetres, obviously bigger, but bigger's better. And if you target within that 60 centimetres.
Yeah.
Which is just bonkers. So it's like I'm high elves. I got zero spells off in the entire game. he got his shrine. He put it in a wood in the middle of the field, defended, and it's like forget about it.
I mean, yeah, you have to say like Alex is a good player.
He was a good player. Mm-hmm. So how did the game go? It was really close. I focused completely on the samurai. I didn't give a poo about anything else. I only took them on when I absolutely had to take them on, when they were the nearest thing to shoot or. When he forced me into taking them on, and I almost got him. There was a point, I think it was like the end of turn four, where I think, being honest, I should have got him. But it just didn't go. It didn't go. I put in my general two units of Reavers and two units of Eagles. One of the Reavers was in his flank of two units, all in a big long line of Samurai. And he managed to tank that combat. And he won, and he didn't pursue, because obviously he has to pursue, because he's Samurai. But he couldn't pursue because it was all Reavers and Eagles.
Alex has got a good poker face, and I talked to him after the event, and he said that was the closest game and the closest moment in that game. Like he was internally sweating.
I did my combat math. I threw my general in because that you know when you're going for the win. Like that's something I learned. I played it against Paul. If you're going for the win and you have to win now, then just chuck the general in. What does it matter?
Yeah, just do that combat last.
Yeah. If you win, you win. If you lose, you're going to lose anyway. Just lose big. So that was fantastic. Played Alex. The turn after I went for it, his samurai just all rolled up my flank. I was all in line and he just came one at a time, just everything. So happy days. But it was a great game. And I got 2 points, I believe, and he got four.
Yep.
Do you have any moments of note from round one?
Well, I dealt with the most rules questions in round one, naturally, and I was making sure that everyone was using their clocks because they hadn't started them as exactly right. But those, it's a minor things. But I'll talk about my whole experience afterwards. Okay. And I'll do that. So you're round two.
Okay, round two, played Lizardmen. It was a completely different Lizardmen list to what I'd have built, but I think the gentleman's name was Tony, and I think as soon as we started playing, he started talking to me about his list and how he thought he might have built it wrong. And then after the game, I gave him my list. I showed him what list I'd run, and he had two Stegodons, no wizards, and a breakpoint of 8. Lizardmen do hit hard, but a breakpoint of 8's not good. And no wizards. I mean, the strength of Lizardmen is the wizards.
And he's not taking it.
You've got two wizards, they're 35 points each, and the general who can use the wizards to cast spells from, and he had none. He had the general trying to cast spells, which is not good, because that means the general's got to be up the front, right at the front. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting game, although it didn't particularly go particularly well for him. He kept pushing stuff forward, like he threw his Stegodon forward, as you do gung-ho, it attacks for 12, and it's got terror and this and that, and the bolt throws opened up and killed it. Because although we couldn't do 10 wounds, I think you need to do on it, it did 6 wounds.
And so it badly hurt it?
No, it was badly hurt anyway, the driver killed it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's still
so something. You think you can chuck it out the front, it's a big lump, but as soon, the drive back blows most things away.
It's only movement 20. So, yeah. 7, 14, 21, 6 dice will kill it.
Yeah. And did. Mm. So that was a bit of a shock to the system. And then we had a nice battle on one flank with his... So I exposed my Reavers to try and kill some flyers, which was silly. I put all 3 units of Reavers against 1 unit of flyers, and they didn't kill it, and they flew off the table and came back on, and then his cold ones ate all my Reavers, which was disappointing. And then in return, I managed to take out enough to break him using my Silver Helms into his cold.
Yeah, it seems to be a tactic of yours at the moment.
if you look at the high elf list, apart from shooting, nothing hits hard.
Yeah.
Nothing hits hard and can take a hit, then they are it.
So, you've lost the first round, you've won the second round.
Did he get 2 points in that? Yeah, Tom.
And going into round 3.
Okay, so round 3 was against Nick. Nick plays Tomb Kings, he's from our club.
Lovely, he won the best table.
Table, he's got fully painted army, he's a nice guy, it's a nice list, he's got 5 wizards. The stuff being raised everywhere. So I sit down at the table. I know I can't win a protracted fight against Nick because his break is 12 and stuff.
He's going to raise more.
Stuff keeps coming. And so I won turn one. No, he went turn one and moved forward a little bit. And then I just went completely gung ho.
I saw this game on the outside because by this point I had less rules queries to deal with. So I sat myself on Barry's flank and just watched the game. And I thought Barry played this very well. Not to blow smoke for him, but he's because you can lose to a Tomb King army without realising you've lost to them. Because
you did last Wednesday.
Yeah, like I did last Wednesday.
With Empire.
It was like, whoops. And it's a lovely meta system where they actually are really a strong army, and Nick is learning how to play them correctly, I think. And so, but Barry looked at the problem, analysed it, came up with a tactic, pursued it, and won.
It's not normally how I play High Elves, but so turn one, I just threw in my flyers, and the real killer was I threw in my dragon. Mm. So this meant that my dragon and these flyers were all the way in his side of the table, and there was no chance they were coming back. So, but I managed to break 4 units.
Yeah, because you put 2 units of your 2 eagles and your character on his dragon into the front of a block of 4 cavalry. Skeleton cavalry.
I was tempted to go after the
which are 2 units wide. So, because the cavalry isn't supporting, so why are the other unit there? But they're there because he's moving up as a brigade.
And he's trying to control the orders. And that was where they fit. He also had a unit of the similar setup, so 4 units, and there are 2 at the front, 2 at the back, of chariots. But I was a little bit more cautious because the stand and shoot would take away a stand, potentially.
Yeah. I mean, the chariots obviously are the Tomb King's rock stars, but I mean, that was a good trade.
Was it? I only managed to kill 3, and I left one stand in the final unit, and it cost me both my eagles and my.
But if nothing else, nothing else, so you came away.
Points-wise, I definitely didn't win. I got 180, and it cost me.
But it gave you had momentum on that. You had the pace of the game then, because you've started the game with a big attack, and if you look at where the line of battle was drawn, it was well in Nick's heart.
I was all over his ball throwers and stuff. I mean, turn 2, his rock lobbers, I was kind of on the hills. He had hills in his deployment, and I was on those hills. Because turn 2, I just chucked everything in. I chucked my Reavers in, chucked my Silver Helms in, chucked all my infantry in.
Yeah.
And I mean, if my combats hadn't gone well, I would have easily lost in his turn too, yeah. I think. But
yep. Hey. Yeah, but I think that's exactly, go for the throat. That was exactly the right way to get, right way to go about it. Because yeah, you're, though you've gotten a very high break point for high elves out of your list, yo, that isn't by getting the best troops in it, is it? Yeah, you've no. got, like, you will get ground out by undead. Like,
yeah. I mean, as bad as skeletons are they really that much worse than spearmen? Yeah. Probably not. Not over a long battle. Not when you're making them for free.
No, yeah, and as soon as he starts creating, I mean, the signature Doom King spell is Raise Dead, which you should always cast. And
Five times.
And as soon as you get that off, I mean, it's so good. It's like, it's good in attack, defense, attrition. It's just like bonkers.
It is fine. Yeah. Even to just put some chaff in the way.
Yeah.
It's just horrific. But yeah. It's what makes the Tomb Kings
work. It's why they don't have initiative.
Like, and so my game was really quick. I swear it was probably done in an hour or an hour and a quarter.
Roughly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I got 4 points of that. Nick actually got three, because that's how much stuff I committed and died. Yeah. Like, well over 600 points, more like 800 points of my stuff died.
Yeah, a big chunk of that dragon going. Yeah, and then... Then where did you finish, Barry?
I finished fifth, and that was on tiebreakers from strength of schedule.
Yes.
Let's mention
the results. In first place, Alex Janaway with his nip on got 3 wins, and the only player to get 3 wins, so with 12 points.
And a great player. And a great sport.
Yep, fantastic. Well done him. Well-deserved winner. Second player was a guy called Declan. He didn't record his last name, I'm afraid.
Played Empire.
And he got 2 wins and a good loss with 11 points. Only player to get that. Now, I really liked this Declan guy. I hadn't met him before. Asked him, how did he know about the event? He'd read it off the Warhammer forum. So already our next event is on the Warhammer forum. Yeah. All that work then. Right, and his Empire list was I'm playing Empire at the moment, trying to work them out, and his list was quite different than what I would put on the table. And I was like, yeah, he did well with it. And I was
tank in there?
No. is that a better way to use Empire? I don't know. I mean, like, he was exactly the kind of player you want in, like, a new player into your scene. It's like, he knows what he's doing, he's played a lot of Warmaster, he's a really nice sport, and he's doing well with something that I wouldn't... That's not what I would have done. Yeah. I was really impressed by the lad. That was good. He came second. And the third place, basically, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh players, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players, all finished with 10 points. And strength of schedule meant it was Tom who won, who came third with his dwarves. And that was the last round event, actually, was Tom versus Nat. Alex is on top table.
Okay.
So strength of schedule evened it out then to make Tom the peak to get to the third.
Which is how it should work,
yeah, exactly. Because in the first and third, if you've got a 3-round event, those who are on the first and second position should be vying for first and third, really. You know, like, or first and second, even.
Yeah. It just depends how it breaks.
How it breaks down. So, yeah, and that was
he was game. Playing dwarves, yeah?
He was playing dwarves.
Standard dwarves, this, yeah?
He borrowed the army of Alex.
Just goes to show, there's not much wrong with dwarves.
Yeah. So we are, like, first Nippon, second Empire, third dwarves.
Okay. The other thing I'd like to mention is the army that took my eye the most was there's a guy called Nav who's playing Orcs and Goblins.
He won Best Painting.
It was basically, he had like a purple looking Orcs and Goblins. He also had Orcs and Goblins with a breakpoint of 8.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a podcast about Orcs and Goblins, and this Orcs and Goblin list was definitely not the way that we have said about Orcs and Goblins.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. What do we know?
He had 2 giants, he had 2 units of trolls, he had no heroes.
No.
I think he said he had 3 wizards that he used. He tossed them.
Yeah,
to try
just throw them away. He didn't take the mandatory crown of command.
No.
It's like, what is this list should get nowhere. But he won his first 2 rounds, and he was contending for.
He could have won the event.
Could have won the event.
If he'd have won the 3rd round, his strength schedule maybe would have done it. Maybe not.
Could have won the event. Basically, going into round 3, there was 4 players who could win. I was looking at. And Nav was one of them. And it was just like, not only does army look great, but it's like, I mean, I talked to him afterwards, and he said in both his round 1 and 2, when a giant fails an order, it gets its own blunder automatically. Both times it rolled the 6, which meant the giant went absolutely turbo and charges something and double attacks it. And it's like, that really helped both his games. But anyway, that's like, bit of a rat. I mean, like, there's luck and dice and everything. But what is impressive is that he was doing so well with a list that we just would neither of us would have said.
He had a scratch built Arachnorok spider. Yeah, which
lovely.
Is fantastic.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, good man. Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk about the People Fire Club?
Yes, go on. Yeah.
I guess we should mention. Oh, we'll just run out the rest of the results, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So. First, second, third we've mentioned. Fourth was a guy called Mark. Fifth was Barry. Sixth was Nav. Seventh was Jeffrey. Eighth was Nick. Ninth was Andy. Tenth was Az, a new player who'd never played War Machine before and won two games. so he got best newcomer. 11th was Tony. Joint 11th was Simon. 13th was Phil. And 14th was Adrian. And that was so that was our 14 point players, and as I say, like, we could have done it at 16, but there wouldn't because we couldn't have played the fourth round. It doesn't really matter. We could have had, you know, 20 players if we'd attracted 20.
Yeah, there's room.
Mm-hmm.
So what, we talked about everything but the future. Now what's the future? Tell us about your next event. Tell us about your TO.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm the rules judge and the spare player wasn't needed, so, and that was good because I really would have struggled to play games and judge. So going forward, you have to be a separate position. And it's a shame because I really missed playing, but because we've got this podcast and we play a lot of games, it wasn't so bad.
It was bad.
I mean, the thing is,
I'd rather played.
Yeah, oh, totally. And
I spend too much of my time.
But I would too. But that's the thing is, someone's got to organise this stuff.
Well, at least until the scene develops that you're not.
I don't have
needed.
To. Yeah, I hope so because, yeah. And it would have been. I suppose it would be bad form for me to win an event I ran anyway.
I wouldn't think you'd win.
No, well, I don't know. I'll give it a go. But anyway, rules questions. I did have quite a few in the first round. And it was often, it was like people just misinterpreting rules, really. And like doing things like pursuits wrong. You know, like, is it like they'd blob everything off and it's like...
So they wouldn't move one unit at a time.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, choose a unit and like do it one at a
time.
And
that doesn't mean that sometimes you can't get it.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, it's like it's... Because if you misinterpret it, it can be far too good... You know, like, and I was like, no, that's not how this is done. Yeah. And say, like, I didn't have any rules decisions where it resulted in, like, really, like, I don't know, like, disputing, I would say. Basically, everything was like, this is the way, go on. And I did the clocks where only I could stop the clock. So the first thing I would do is somebody would call judge, I'd come over, stop the clock, very War Machine. Like, and I'd be like, what's the problem? They'd explain the situation. I'd give them the way, and then I'd start the clock again and get them to continue. So let's say, like, as the events went on, as you'd imagine, I had less and less rules questions needed.
And we didn't have any issues with the clock after round two.
I had nobody come to me and tell me that anyone was like being a real awkward opponent at all.
There's none of that, rolling on an opponent's turn.
I didn't have to check anyone about like etiquette at all, which was great. Some people talk more than others, like in banter, and some don't. But
I tend to talk on my turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Then people can't get stressed.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to talk on your turn because that's on your clock.
Exactly. So that was all fine. That was great. And I say it really helped that I had this definitive book, because when I did the army list checking on the first round as well, I went round and checked everybody's army lists, and there was some discrepancies. Like, for example, I found one guy was using an army list from a Warmaster magazine, which actually is a little bit wrong, very tiny. Yeah. But I was like, I wasn't a dick about it. I didn't like go, oh, well, stop. That's
no,
really
we, our game today, where your
you can't, yeah, army builder is
nothing
yeah,
like
yeah, army
nothing
builder like. Is not correct, so I won't be using it in the future.
So use Warmaster Army Selector online.
Yes, I will have to like get that details off you afterwards. Like, for example, I found one army list like had been used from a Warmaster magazine that is not actually is different in the army book, the book that came out afterwards. But I was just like, the points difference overall, because he was underpointed anyway, I was so marginal. I was just like, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't worry about it. Just next time, use this book. You know, and similar, I had a guy, like, Jeffrey wanted to use a variation on a Chaos list where he alternatively, you know, one unit because he wanted to use Trolls instead of Chaos Warriors. And I was like, and it was fine. I mean, like, yeah.
With the same stuff.
Like, because I hadn't had this book out before the event, I can't. And like I said, like, okay, that's fine. In the future, like, tell me before the event, and I will say yes. you know, like, because I'll look, what are you proposing, and, you know, I will put it to a judge, and okay, I'll think about it, and then...
The only issue with, I mean, they don't allow proxies generally, is because your brain, if it looks at something and says, oh, that's an ogre, and then your brain thinks of it as an ogre, when it's not an ogre, it's not what's that.
Exactly, I mean, it's a, I mean, with, I mean, say, with all these things, it's just like, you just have to... communicate, you know, like just communicate before, and it's like, because obviously the default answer is, well, is it in this book, you know, and so, but it's fine. I mean, like, we want to be inclusive, not exclusive, and it's like, as I say, like, when I, you know, basically I set down the way the tournament was to be, but I didn't slavishly enforce like things, like I didn't make this army list that was slightly wrong. I didn't remove a unit to make it right because the difference was he was 5 points over, right, or something. I was just like, just fine, you know, like, yeah, like, next time get it correct,
yeah,
know, like,
yeah, because
it's not a big, it's not, if I found things that were massively wrong, obviously I'd be like, hang on, you're playing 200 points plus here, you know, like, you know, you, yeah, that's no good.
One thing people did feedback was that Horde armies tend to struggle a little bit with time, because they don't tend to do a lot of damage, and
but at the end of the, I mean, we are creating a tournament scene here, aren't we? And
that's the same in other games.
Yeah, that's the same in other games, isn't it? You just have to, you just have to manage your time.
You have to move it.
Yeah, you have to manage your time. You have to, those early turns, you have to be quick. You know, like, maybe even you might want to build a movement tray.
Yeah, I was thinking about
it. Like, help you move your stuff faster. Because if it's not going to change its formation, it might be worth it.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
Scream, what are they called? There's a company that does them that really cheaply. I can't remember.
No.
Anyway,
and they'd have to be magnetised.
Yeah, of course. Always. Maybe
always.
Anyway, so this was fantastic. I think as a first event, it was a definitely win. I think, yeah, like,
well done, Paul.
So
win.
The next event is already planned. It's going to be July 2nd. Same venue, same style of
same
event.
Same format.
The format, unless I really think it needs to change, it won't change. You know,
all,
like,
33 lists are valid now, so come along
valid,
with your Chaos Dwarfs.
Still valid.
Sherwin.
You know, like, and we obviously, if we change anything at all, it won't be until a long, it won't
probably
be for a long
January.
Time, probably next year.
Yeah.
You know, like, and we wouldn't change something like the day before, you know, like, and because that's not fair. So come and have a go. And like I say, the we already know of a new player into the scene from the back of creating these documents is a guy called Matthew Sherwin, or Sherwin Matthews, like,
whichever way you want to
call him.
The end of times.
The end times are coming now. So he's got the game system's about to have a real big stress test, because Sherwin is a fantastic player at War Games. He is the best War Machine player that is in our scene. And, like, now he's turned his attention to Warmaster.
Yeah. You know, can't, like, bear to see me happy.
Yeah,
so he's
going
to come and ruin me.
He can't let Barry be happy. And as much as he's deflates himself and says, I won't do that well, he's like, yes, you will.
You'll find
a way to win. Yeah, you know, because, like, that's what you do. And it's like, which is great. But I mean, because, like, he'll be using something that's legal and bring it on. It'll be like, you know, that's that's what you're meant to do, isn't it? Like, you're meant to, like, give people boundaries and then see what happens.
Yeah, children. Like,
yeah, like, so it's really, yeah, fantastic. So, and but the next event chronologically will be the Triwizard one, which is a doubles tournament on April 30th in Saffron Walden, which me and Barry are going to go as Team Warmaster Podcast.
That'll do.
And
we'll talk you through which list.
Yeah,
we're
we got plenty of time to think about that.
I'm already thinking about
that. That is the next tournament event, and I'm going to run. So an event happens every 3 months, so it's Triwizard next, and then it'll be, say, like, more of the same. I won't vary, as in I won't do doubles events or something. It'll always be,
well, not yet
at least, it'll always be like a Warmaster tournament, like a Steamroller pack is in War Machine. It's like, you know, a standard, you know what you're going to get, and it's like, I like that, because then if you like that format, you just can go anywhere and play that.
Yeah.
So that is what's happening.
Okay.
Our next podcast will be about the High Elf Army review.
Yeah. You know, I've got a bit of experience with that.
Yeah, we've been playing some High Elf games, and it will be back, and that will be back to our regular running style of event.
Yeah, it may even be a bit shorter because we're a bit long today, but I think it's all right.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. It's been episode 5 of Warmaster Podcast with Paul and Barry.
See you later.
Okay, bye bye. Yeah.
submit. My incentive is romance. I watch the pole dance of the star. We rejoice because the hurting is so painless from the distance of passing cars. But I am married to your charms and grace. I just feel crazy like the good old days. You make me want to pick up a guitar and celebrate the myriad ways that I love you. Can't you see what you've done to my heart and soul?